cliffcentral.com. Welcome to the Futurology Show. Hello, B2.
Hey, everyone.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Yeah, it's got that end of the year feeling, eh?
Yeah. Like, that summarizes it like, yeah.
Yeah, bro.
I think the questions now are, when are you closing? Where are you going? Or are you going?
We're not closed yet? Damn
and
it.
No. I think mentally I've been closed for a while. Probably like 40 odd years.
Yeah. Did you know it's March? Yeah.
Huh?
It's March.
It is March. Yeah, yeah. No, I knew that. I'm also the Mad Hatter. But yeah, no, it's been a long year, man. It's like...
It feels like a long year, but you look back, it's weird. I hate the way this is working out. But you still broke me from last week with your discussion around time and travel and cryogenic freezing.
No, you did the same thing to me. In fact, I'm actually going to talk about that just now. Can you hear the clicking sound in the background? We'll talk about that just now as well.
It's freaking me out a little bit. Hey, oh, we got a new follower, one extra tweet.
You see that? So we'll talk about that just now. It's called Flapper, but it's very cool, and I brought it into studio because you know me and toys. Dude, I have to start with App of the Week because for me, like luck and good luck and bad luck, I don't want to really break tradition, but I'm going straight back to last week's show because of something you shared with me that actually re-freaked me out.
Okay.
So we'll get to that now. So App of the Week.
Yes.
Now, it's not often I don't get to actually play or try the App of the Week, but I really want to give these guys kudos, and I'm hoping that because we're doing it from South Africa.
Cool.
Then they'll finally open up South Africa. So it's called Ava, A-V-A, okay? And the website is ava.me. And basically, I'll guess you're sitting nodding his head, I don't know if he knows about it. But basically what Ava is, it's for deaf people to be able to join conversations, okay? So what happens is you're sitting – now, why this is personal to me is we've got someone in the family who is deaf, and he's often around at the house. And, you know, I always look at him. We put the TV on, you put the what do you call it? The closed captioning. You know, we put all the closed I can't think of the word. Subtitles.
Yes.
Up on the screen. But he's locked out of conversation. He sits there and he watches the screen. You and I, we're sitting here talking. Okay, he'll never hear the show. So what Ava does is that he is the, let's call it the host, like as if you were having a Google Hangout, right?
Yeah.
So he's the host. He opens up Ava and then he invites the people in the room. So each person gets an invite by name so that Ava now knows it's Brett, or that would be confusing, B1, B2, Heinrich, etc. And you open up the app. And then your mic on your phone listens to talking, and on his screen it says, Brett talking and saying da-da-da-da. So like as the conversation is happening, it turns it into text, and we got more followers. I'm going to get to that just now. It goes to text, and...
this is not working for my ADD. At all.
Okay, before we get to your reanimation, I have to explain what this little flapper toy is now. But basically, deaf people can start joining conversations.
Yeah.
I just think that is freaking awesome and well done to them. Now, the reason I'm mentioning it is that it's currently available in the US, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, the UK, and I think Argentina and France. That's kind of where they were. Okay. So, guys, I am going to tweet. Brett, you might be tweeting already, buddy.
It's coming.
All the way from South Africa. We found you. We dig you. We love the work that you're doing.
Skype in. Let's chat.
Yeah. You're welcome to Skype in. Let's chat. And also, more importantly, make it available here. I mean, it's just such an awesome offering, I thought. Anyway. Okay. So, I said I was going to go straight back to last week's discussion. I can't. So I've got this little gizmo here. We're going to take a photo and put it up afterwards Brett's already checked the ADHD. He's already going for his phone. So he's got this. There he goes. It's called Flap It. All right. Now, what inspired me about this is I'm actually going to be talking about a plane.
And I was thinking, one tweet at a time. This is crazy.
Well, it's tweets, Facebook. So Fantastic. It's a little box. I don't know how big you would say that is. It's about two shoe boxes in length. If you put two shoe boxes next to each other.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that is. It's 60 centimeters-ish and maybe 10, 15 high.
It's a box.
It's a box. And what it does, it's got all those flapping things. Remember when you went to the airport in the old days before digital and like the flight changed? I mean, tick, 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 tick. You're going to hear that tick, 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 tick. I do that well, huh? Tick, 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 tick. You're going to hear that through the show. So you link up your networks. We've got Twitter linked up. So when I turned it on now, which was 7 minutes ago, I had 718 followers. I'm now sitting on 720. You put your Facebook, you put your YouTube, Instagram, so all your social networks. And then it actually visually shows you as these things are changing. Brett, you do Twitter walls and Twitter falls in your events.
Yeah.
So, like, instead of going digital, you could actually go old school analog.
Retro.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. So, it's you know, the irony is it's retro analog, but you're using an app online to drive it instead of
there you go, bricks and mortar. Wi-Fi. You guys are going to be retro.
There we
all
go.
All the bricks and mortar, all the actual retro. Tangible stuff, you're going to be retro.
So, nice. I came across this at the, I think it was at the Ed Dynamo guy's place. I was like, dude, I got to have one of those. It's just that click, 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 click. And you know the cool thing? It's been in my office for the last couple of days while I was
driving
setting it up.
You mad.
No, I love it because it goes and I turn around. You can change the frequency of the update and that. I just set it to about 5 minutes or something because we're only here for an hour. Anyway, if you bring it closer, we're going to pick up that.
Turn on mic three. We'll give it a microphone.
Fix it up. No, I can hear it through the headset. All right. So that's Flap It. Guys, if you like the concept of it, check it out. It's flapit.com. In fact, they're actually doing a promotion at the moment. There was this whole like Black Friday or Cyber Monday or Christmas, whatever. But any brand that's involved in social actually has to have one of these in the office. I mean, that's where I saw it. I walked in and was like, as I walked in, it goes and there's like stuff.
It's really cool.
It's conversational.
Not conducive to a radio studio where you need to have some sort of silence.
Well, we've made the apology and the disclaimer. If you hear the tick, 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 tick. That's what it is. It's Flap It flapping away.
FLAPIT.com.
FLAPIT. Yeah, it's on the side of the thingy there.
Just checking
cool. .com. Okay, so I have to go back to last week, dude. You freaked me the fluff out.
Oh, yeah.
So you sent me that, what do you call it? Podcast. Okay. So for the listeners, I think it was Wednesday. No, can't be Wednesday. That's our show. Like Thursday or so last week was the 200-year anniversary of Frankenstein.
Yeah. Did you listen to it?
Yes. You see, I do what I'm told to do. So 200 years ago, Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein, or published it, I think, not wrote.
Yeah.
And so B2 sends me this link to this podcast. What is it called? The Infinite Monkey Cage?
The Infinite Monkey Cage, yeah. Bunch of crazy people that talk about physics and other crazy stuff.
Okay, so just with that name, you actually have to listen to it, right? So I click on it, I download it, and these guys are talking. What they did is they actually unpacked the whole concept of Frankenstein, but from the reanimation and that. There's a dude there who's like special. He's trying to grow a human from molecules. So he's not taking like sperm and eggs and throwing it in a petri dish and boom. I mean, that's piss. We've done that for years. He's literally trying to grow this thing. Listen, it would be a thing. It's not a human. He's trying to grow a human from molecules. And he's saying that all that's happening is he's just making molecules. He's like more and more molecules and nothing is actually taking and becoming anything. But where it really digs down, this goes back to that little girl we were talking about last week. So for those that didn't hear last week's show, sis on you. But we basically spoke about
it's a podcast.
A young girl.
It lives on. So yes, go back into the archives and listen.
In fact, you know what I'm going to tell about. You go back and listen to
If you haven't listened to all of our shows, then also go back. And if you haven't listened to all the other shows on Cliff Central, then shame on you even more.
Yes.
But back to the show.
Hashtag Futurology. Right.
Hand.
So this guy's basically got a grant. He's at a university. He's a professor with like 30,000 and 70 and 70 and 1 degrees. And he's basically said he's going to fail. He's basically got a grant. The guys are like were mocking him. They're saying, well, you've got this grant, you've got this cash, but you're sitting here and saying you're going to fail. He says, very simple. We can't replace the human gene. We can't get that neuron right. That spark that we talk about, the soul, the spirit, everyone in different religions and ways and beliefs has a different definition for it. He says, you can't create that.
No.
That's there. So that now is another discussion. So that kept me up at night. I'm going like, well, where the fuck does there come from? You know, I'm like, how do I get there?
There was an amazing
what's there.
Yeah, but it's all about the future. And then they talk about like they spoke about Walt Disney getting cryogenically frozen, maybe.
Yeah.
And that they say that humans aren't ready to be frozen yet.
Were they talking about him being in the aisle with food, or is that you?
Oh, yeah. You climb into the fridge at the local grocery shop and you just say, I'm good. Just leave me for another 40 years. I'll be fine. Wake me up when I'm there. But they were talking about if you had to take sort of a micron layer of our skin or of our being and just lay it out, we would cover the distance. So like a square inch, a micron thick of one human, you'd cover 4 football fields.
That's madness.
And the power required to power us is the same as 1 lightning bolt.
Well, I just hope to shit I never get a Samsung battery put in me because I'm going to just go boom.
No.
But anyway, so thank you for re-freaking me.
No problem.
But, you know,
Thoughts on it, tweet us, hashtag 100%. Futurology, hashtag freak me out.
But have you noticed that the discussion points are AR, machine-to-machine, IoT, and freaking regeneration. That's like where we are. Anyway, so...
And they started getting into the singularity, but they that again, that's a whole nother discussion.
Well, I'm going to keep it in medical because this is a positive one. There's a... Obviously in the States. I mean, where else? They've come up with an app that can help detect autism early in children. So you can't prevent autism.
An app that does this.
Yeah. Apparently the way this app works is it scans how the child's eyes move. Apparently if your eyes move a special way, well, I mean, if they do something in a certain way or form, then it will show a sign of autism. Now, you can't prevent autism. If you have it, you have it. But what they're saying is that by detecting it early, they can manage it, use some forms of medication, which means that they can almost stifle it or reduce it, which I think is great, if that's the right word to use. You know, if you're going to be unfortunate that your child is going to have autism, you'd like to pick it up early and then have that chance of mitigating it, you know. So that was just like my little medical thing. And again, thank you for keeping me up. This is cool. So we're coming into the crazy time of the year. Yep. People are going to get in the roads. They're going to head to their holiday destinations. And they're going to die. That's just what we do because we're stupid. Okay. Now, there's a company, I think it's called Hike Vision, but it's without an E. So it's HIK Vision. They've got this camera.
Hike Vision.
Hike Vision. Okay. Well, I thought you might know. Yeah. Their new camera is so powerful that it can, and it has algorithms and it's connected to servers within itself. Okay. That it can actually detect a driver texting while he's driving.
Oh, wow.
So it has the ability to be able to zoom down into the car in that speed and whatever, pick it up. But more importantly, they're now even looking at being able to automate. So here's the Internet of Things coming into play. You'll get fined. So can you imagine, like, you leave Joburg, you arrive in Durban. Okay, so for international listeners, that's like a six-hour drive, 600 Ks odd. You arrive in Durban and you get a text to say to pay your fine, go to the following sign because this camera picked you up.
The future of fines. Not the show I thought we were going to have today. But
No. But I mean, I'm getting into monies.
Maybe if we could pay it on our accounting software, would allow us to pay our fines as well. Maybe.
And there's the shameless point that we're getting to.
Make it more convenient. Dun, dun,
dun. Okay. AR. We love AR.
We do.
Here's a different play.
AR, VR. I hope you're going where
I've got VR as well.
The AR, VR mix that I sent you earlier this week.
No, it didn't go that way. You can talk about
that. No, that's cool.
You've got a microphone. You know
do
that?
I?
Yeah, look at
no,
that.
No, but finish your thought, please.
Okay. AR earbuds. Okay.
What?
AR earbuds. So they're called Hear One.
Just buy real ones.
No. Listen, this is much better.
Do they clean your ears?
Nothing cleans your ears, buddy. Anyway,
it's funny because of all the shit you tell me.
Yeah, there we go. So it's Hear One, but Hear as in Hear the presence, not Hear using your ear. What it does is it allows you to listen to whatever you're listening to, but then it will modify the sound to the world around you. So if there's news or if there's music or if you want to add in, so like let's say you're walking inside a place and you get your music playing, but if there's a feed that's giving you information, it'll pull that information through as well. So you don't actually have to disconnect from your earphones, but you can actually pull, if you're listening to music, like if it's a piece of classical music, you could probably ask Siri, well you can ask Siri, shit, you could ask Google, what is that that's playing, and the music will still carry on playing, but it'll actually overlay the information. So it's going to have a dual feed that will come into your earbuds. I like that. I mean, it's augmenting. That's what augmenting is all about. Yeah. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
So then the VR AR thing that I'm going to jump into now. Now, Facebook. Everybody's wondering how on earth we're going to get social with VR and how VR is going to get social in social. Facebook have created a VR chat environment. It's sort of AR VR, where you and I can all like log into the same call, and I'll see a virtual avatar of you that responds not only as you talk, but actually responds to your expressions. So I'll see when you're happy, I'll see when you're sad, and I'll be wearing VR goggles, you'll be wearing VR goggles, so you see an avatar of me, and likewise, and then the three of us, Heinrich is here in studio as well, we'd all be in a virtual space. But within the space that I'm, so if I'm the host, I'll host it in my environment, you'll see my background, I'll see, we're all in the same space. So we've then projecting virtual reality avatars into an augmented reality world.
That's pretty cool.
And it all powered via the social media of Facebook, which is then enhancing how we live. But further to that, if you got a FaceTime call while you were in said virtual reality space,
no way.
You can answer using your virtual smartwatch on your avatar by looking down at your arm. You can answer the FaceTime call. It'll pull it into the virtual world. So now that the real person will see the virtual avatar and the augmented space that you're in.
What do you call that vein that's on the top here on the side that starts to thrombose?
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to tweet it because it makes a lot more sense when you see the demo. Luckily, they were clever enough to go and create a demo, but it's amazeballs.
It is cool. And
for anybody wondering what they're going to do.
So I think you should send that video. There's just one problem that I have with it. Why don't you just go and actually sit with the person and speak to
them? They might be on another continent, just saying. So it's Skype, but better.
That works.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you that there will still be chops here that will do it locally, as opposed to just pick up the phone and go, hey, mate, let's go for a beer.
No,
we can really see in full HD the whole world around us because we're in it.
So we've got this idea as a family. Sorry to interrupt. We've got this idea as a family. Like, we're all segmented all over the world, but we want to share a menu with all the family all over the place and say, make that meal. We're going to meet at this time. We're going to eat together, and we'll have Skype chats open at either end of the table. We'll say, you've got to be on the right-hand side of the table. You've got to be on the left-hand side of the table. Everybody eats the same meal, supposedly.
Yeah, that is quite
cool. And you actually share this virtual dining. There's no reason why this global village shouldn't be a real thing.
That actually, you see, now that makes more sense.
Yes.
But the problem is that I would hazard a guess, we'll get the stats eventually, that at least 30%, if not more, of users of this tech will actually be on the same continent, on the same town, within a 15K radius of each other. And yes, it's cool to try, but when you do it the second time, then you're a chop, because you should rather just go and see your mate in the flesh and go, hey, what's up?
You talk about Pokemon Go, and look how many people friggin' play Pokemon Go. So do you know how many people are actually going to use something useful in life?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd rather take this thing.
You see? And look now. So now, that's gone to Facebook, and we have 67,271 fans on Facebook. How cool is that, though?
Sorry, that's me just moving the microphone.
That is cool, though, huh?
That is cool.
It's very rare. And it just happens. So it's like you're having a conversation
and it scares the shit out of you if it's sitting behind you, as it is for me.
Anyway, our producer's going to have a nightmare just now because you've got this click, 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 click coming through. Brett, I can just see the memo. Will Brett not bring his toys to work?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, at school, you can't bring your toys, so don't bring your toys to the office.
Or they're going to replace all the microphones because of this odd clicking noise coming through the tech.
No, Greg's going to come in. I was trying to clean up the show, but I couldn't. So I'm going to stay with VR, because what you're saying now, then you're going to love what I'm saying.
Sweet.
A new conglomerate has come together. It's Sony, Hitachi, and Toshiba, I think. They're playing. And they've already actually started shipping ultra-high resolution panels for what do you call them? VR headsets. Okay. So they've managed these. They've manufactured them at 651 pixels per inch. Now, the Rift.
How much?
651. Now, how many times
pixels
have we spoken?
Per inch. How many times? Dots per inch?
Pixels per inch. Now, to put that into real terms so that you can.
It's more than your eyes can see if you stood a while back.
Well, the 456 on the Rift and 575 on the Gear.
Yes.
Okay. So we're at 651. So when you talk about this mixed reality, virtual reality, where you're getting together for supper with mates and that, at 651 pixels per inch, one, your clarity is there, because that's always been my bugbear, as you know. That's why we use this eye stuff.
Yep.
And two, your eye strain. But your eye strain will reduce because it can actually process the frames per second. So and then just to finish off VR, because we're geeks, Doom. Remember the original classic game?
And
it's
the latest
available
Doom.
For VR.
Oh, really?
Now for VR.
So we just spec'd a bunch of computers at the moment, and all the new graphics cards, the NVIDIA graphics cards, are coming out with VR ready all over them, which is
that's quite
cool.
Funny, actually. So that's my VR finds for the week. I've actually kind of thrown myself all over the place now because we've kind of jumped. Not that we ever do that, but the one. I love this article, and you're going to love it even more than me. And then I'm going to say it's bullshit because of the stats. So I read this thing all the way to the end, and I saw the people. iPhone users are more dishonest than Android users.
That's no, we're not. Yes, we are. What?
Okay, so at that point, I was like, well, whatever. And they said how they did this whole survey, and they went on to justify the statement. I was like, okay, well, that does make sense. And they go, and we talked to 530 people. Over 2015, 2016. So next, I wish I had paper. I would just crumple up and throw that away. How do you make a statement? Thank you. How do you make a statement like that? Actually publish it on a reputable magazine. Okay. It was like a proper e-zine. And they only surveyed 530 people.
Oh, it must be real.
No, of course. I mean, how many iPhones are there in
the world? Maybe it was an iPhone user that was actually conducting the experiment.
I don't know, chopped.
Dishonest from the start. Damn it.
I actually unsubscribed from that, that what's it called? Easy. Because I just thought, if you're going to publish shit like that, I actually got better things to do.
Thanks for sharing it on this show, though.
Okay. So, you know, no, because if anyone else reads it, I'm not going to name and shame the easy, but they'll do it themselves. So I brought my little airport flapper gizmo goodology because I wanted to talk about something that I mentioned, I think, a year ago. What happened to the Concorde? Do you remember in the like late 70s, early 80s, I think it was, we had the Concorde and it flew from London to New York in like under 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently very uncomfortable. My dad's business partner was lucky enough to fly on one. But the point is you get to New York in 4 hours.
Hmm.
So a company's just launched, how cool is this name? It's called Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Like Sonic Boom.
Awesome.
So their plane's called Boom. It's going to do its test flights late next year. And they reckon that they will get the pricing. So it will be 3.5 hours from London to New York or vice versa. So that's quicker than the Concorde. But they're using existing technology.
And you don't need Botox by the time you get there because your face will be
like a roller coaster face.
Hold on to your teeth, Pete.
But they reckon that the cost will be pretty much the same as a business class flight. So for a businessman who's going to fly business class anywhere to be able to get cross continental, cross ocean, Atlantic.
And it's not all about comfort, it's about convenience and speed.
Well, that's the thing.
Fantastic.
Could you imagine you wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you jump on a plane, and you're in New York for lunch?
Hmm.
And
then for those of us that don't like VR social chats on Facebook.
Exactly. Here's the real deal, dude.
Go ahead. Order your beer and drink it.
Okay. So I call it Black and Blue Friday. That would happen last week.
Yes.
Did you watch those videos of these people literally beating the snot out of each other?
There's also a bit of red in there, and that's traffic lights as well as blood.
I mean, people. I was actually banned by Gail. So on Thursday night, I didn't even get a chat. I got a WhatsApp, so it's in writing.
Okay? Yeah.
So she could say, I did have this chat with you. I got a WhatsApp from her telling me to cease and desist when it comes to Black Friday, that I have enough shit
floating
around my house. So she already knew. But I watched these videos of how people, and like men were beating women. They were like throwing them to the ground and ripping TV sets out of their hands. I mean, like,
there was a story of this woman that was at the doors of one of these American superstores. No, she was at the doors, and as the doors opened, she turned around and pepper sprayed all the people behind her, and then ran in,
but promptly
got taken up by two security guards.
But I actually watched one where a woman got trampled, and the guys, they actually just carried on.
It was hectic.
Oh, well, she's already been trampled. At least we can dry the ice off our shoes. And then Cyber Monday was like 122 million people went online.
That's the one to wait for, I think.
Yeah, but it's like, first of all, did you buy anything on Black Friday?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you need it?
No.
You see?
Am I using it? Absolutely.
I know you'll use it, bud. But the point is, you didn't need, and was the deal that good?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well then it's justified.
Yeah, I'm a Scotsman. If there was a deal, I was going to have it.
There's no way I'm not going to get that one.
I got to have it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it just yet, but I need two.
All right, so I always try to find my last little bit of tidbit, snippet, and all those good things to like lead into, I guess. So you kind of intimated. We have Heinrich here today. Heinrich, you're from Zero. Well, we're going to be talking about Zero, which is a product, but your mic's on, so welcome to the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
All right, thanks for sitting so patiently while we talk crap for 20 odd minutes. But your company is not called Zero. So Zero is the platform, that's the software.
We one of the accounting partners in South Africa, and there's a whole bunch of us. And
there's only one cool one because I know where to get it from, and Brett knows where to get it from, and we got it from you. So
we're one of the first.
Okay,
let's put it that way.
So, I've already met Heinrich, and he's already converted us.
I'm converted as well.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought we'd do a show because we actually talk from.
Yeah, and this is a recent conversion. I didn't even know Heinrich was on the show today.
Didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I was like, hey, dude, who's the guest today? And like, oh yeah,
dude, I gave you an hour's notice.
True story. Okay. No, it was great to know.
All right, so your company is?
Monthly Accounting.
Monthly Accounting.
So we are basically Xero partners.
Okay.
Xero is the software.
Okay.
And we use Xero to provide accounting services.
All right, so in this office in this studio for the next 20 minutes, the P word won't be used. We'll use the P word, and it doesn't stand for. There's another accounting package out there with P.
Oh, Sage Pastel. Yeah. Them. Okay. Oh, sorry. I not paying attention?
Yeah, so now they're the P word. So if you're a good old South African, the P word is the same as the F word, but it's
But they're kind,
followed
they're,
by Club.
They're kind of like the rest of the monopoly companies that we have.
Yeah, but they're dying quickly, which I'm thankful
for. No, but that's the thing. Like, the great thing about innovation in the business environment at the moment is that it's allowing people to challenge the monopolies or these big businesses that have sort of owned the space for so long. And it's got to do with convenience, better service, lower costs.
Technology, basically.
Technology is enhancing all of these things.
So I'm going to jump in there because that's exactly how I wanted this discussion to go. You know, if I look back over the year at all the shows, we always look at disruptive technology. And the one thing I have to say, because I do use Xero now, so I'm going to just put that straight out there, but I was using Pastel, okay, because my accountant told me to use Pastel because Pastel made sense for him. Because he'd been brainwashed. Sorry, he'd used Pastel. And that's just how it was. I have never, ever... Now, I'm not an accountant. I think that's the most important thing of today's discussion. We vary for the entrepreneurs. We always have entrepreneurs sitting in these seats. These are people that are starting up small businesses, don't have money, don't necessarily have...
Every time.
He's moved it like right next to him. Can you feel a vibration? We got another follower. So basically, I'm not an accountant. I have to try and use a program I can't use, okay? Because Pastel's not user-friendly. I'm sure it does what it does and it does it how it does it. But what I loved about Xero is I did everything online. I set it up online. And even though I wasn't an accountant, it kind of made sense. There was a UX and a UI to it that just made sense.
I guess in a nutshell, that's basically what Xero managed to get, that perfect balance between what you as a business owner want. And at the same time, from my side as an accountant, what we need to be able to provide you with better service at the end of the day.
I just actually have to interrupt you for a second. Xero, by the way, is X-E-R-O. It's not Z-E-R-O. So it's Xero, but like the X. Okay. Mm. Do you know the story behind that?
Yeah, I can tell you some background.
So basically,
they originated out of New Zealand.
Okay, turn the mics off. Yeah. That's it.
New Zealand.
Just get the hell out of us.
At least not Australia. We'll deal with the New Zealanders. Okay, they're cool oaks, so yeah.
There they still eat sheep. So it came from New Zealand. Really?
Okay. Yeah, it was actually the owner that the founder actually, he sold one of his companies. He was already a very successful businessman. And part of his frustration was over the years when him running a business that he's never actually been able to have an accounting system that actually worked for him from a business point. Although he's even, as far as I know, he's even got a finance background. But it was very frustrating for him. And then, he's got nothing better to do. So he decided he's going to, with the cloud industry growing, and he feels like this is the right time. And he started Xero. And they, shortly after, they moved to Australia, and they basically just boomed every area or every country they just expanded to. They literally just take over the market. Mm. And they went to the UK, and pretty much they're a global company now. They listed in New Zealand, Australia.
Yeah.
And I think they're also planning on listing in America as well. So they represented them in 180 countries now.
Wow.
And that I think awesome. they're roughly about probably between almost 800,000 companies globally uses their system.
That's fantastic.
And for the last, they've been in existence for 10 years. So this is their 10th year. They started in 2006. And so far for the last 5 years, I think they've doubled their numbers every year. It's been an amazing road trip for them. Mm. And they're a massive disruptor in the accounting industry, especially in the SME space.
Well, if you look at what's happened to business in the last 10 years, is that there's been this glut of startups. I mean, I've done the startup journey. Started 8 years ago. And you got all these guys that are innovating and stuff. And everybody starts these new tech startups with a great idea, not with the willingness to go and see how much admin they can pile up. So these kinds of things are really great for like answering that problem that most startups realize sort of after the first month.
Exactly. And it really, the software itself really empowers the business owner, especially when
to focus on doing their business.
And also we're moving away from a scenario where, if you work on other accounting systems, you always have to wait for your accountant and they tell you a lot of stories at the end of the day and you pay them a lot of money. And you don't really see what's
going on. Story I've never heard before.
Yeah.
I've never heard this story.
And you always sit there and like, okay, well, you have to trust him and, and with Xero, because it's made for the business owner, if you can browse the internet, you can really see what's going on in your business on a daily basis. So you're sitting with live business information. You can actually see what's
going on.
That
makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And
for once, your accountant can't come up with 10,000 or the bookkeepers can't say, well, I've done it. And you can actually see, we found it. over the years. That, you know, those
keeping
that,
you guys honest, eh?
keep us honest, which is good. We like that, you know. Yeah. And it really, and if I explain to business owners, it's like when they launched the iPad. You know, you don't know really why you need it, but then you got one.
Yes.
And then you realize, but how did I survive without it?
Yes.
And that's the same way that we see Xero. It's similar to, you know, you don't think you actually need it, then you get it, then you're like, but how did I run my business without actually Xero?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds too good to be true. It sounds like a leprechaun riding a unicorn at the end of a rainbow. But
I mean, that was also the reason why I wanted to have this show.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, when we started chatting to you, the whole thing of South Africa, and I think globally, but I mean, we've got the Shark Tank on at the moment. So, you know, the whole spirit of entrepreneurialism is alive and kicking, and it always has been. But I mean, we've even got TV shows now that are talking about it. The problem with any business is the actual administration of a business. And, you know, guys will sit around having a beer, come up with a great idea, and then they get into trouble a year down the line because they haven't like paid tax or they haven't, but even simple things like invoicing. I mean, let's start at the fundamentals of a business. You can't get paid if you don't give someone to pay you. I mean, that's just like logic. Okay. Now with what I liked about Xero, the reason I moved it, cause we did a lot of research as a small business, you know, one little business I was involved in. Why not go to trial? There's nothing better for anyone to say you don't have to pay. You don't even have to put your credit card in. Okay, that to me was quite impressive, is that I actually didn't have to commit.
They don't force you.
Correct.
No.
I didn't commit to anything. And that to me is very important because that's basically saying you're actually not trying to just take my money. You really want me to play and see. The setup was quick. Now, again, I've run many businesses in my life. I've started businesses. I've sold businesses. I've lost businesses. It's a nice journey. But and I have an accounting mind, but I'm not an accountant, and it's the one thing I hate doing. But the thing that really resonated for me with Xero is that I could do my quotes in Xero as well.
Mm.
On the other packages out there, you can't. Okay, you cannot write a description of what a website is going to be involved in 140 characters. It's like Twitter, you know. You just can't do it. There's like limitations.
I just downloaded the app for Xero. I hadn't had it on my phone yet.
What, on your phone? Yeah.
Try. You've got to do this. If you're listening now, download the Xero, X-E-R-O app, and just do the try for free. It builds you a business, like a demo business, but it says, we're building you a business. We're hiring some staff. We're going to get you some invoices. We're going to do this stuff. And you end up with this, like, this business that's been operating for a couple of months and has got things in and out. And it's a really clever way of doing a trial. Like, let's not give you something that's blank, because all these platforms are great, but it's the information that really starts to tick it over.
But they basically took something very, like, oh, look, let's face it, accounting isn't very exciting unless you've got lots of money in the bank. They basically took something that most people are very, you know, it's very negative perception about it.
They answered a brief.
And they actually turned it into this positive thing and making it fun at the end of the day.
They gamified
it. And they make it fun for the business owner, but at the same time, they make it fun for the accounting staff. And I think that's basically, and it's on both sides. And from an accounting side, it is amazing.
Yeah.
From a business side, it's also amazing. You know, they've just, in our experience over the last 4 years, we've been using Xero for about 4 years now.
Yeah.
And we're about 60 to 70% more productive, pushing out data and actually valuable data for clients versus using traditional sort of systems at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So from our side, it is amazing. We just love it. Our clients love it. And it's just it's a recipe for a good relationship with your client at the end of the day.
And it's not just for guys starting out in business. You don't need to be like a fresh start business with things. You can be somebody on another accounting system moving across, and they've planned for that too.
Exactly. So they do really... And they understand that moving from one accounting system can be a nightmare. And they really
put stressful.
Yeah, stressful. And they've really come to the party and all pretty much across the globe where if you're on any other system, they literally pay for the conversion and they pull all your data over from your previous account.
So that's what I wanted to get to. You guys are stealing my thunder here. Should I just turn my mic off and go and sit outside?
No,
okay,
like
cool.
To be one.
All right. So that was the big kicker for me because I've had that problem before. You know, you can export into a CSV and then you can import and then it kind of has a dot or a comma or it spelt the dude's name wrong or whatever. The migration was I'm like all over. If you're starting up like what you did and when you look at the app and how it takes you through almost a tutorial to build your business. So you do realize you need an invoice. Cool, let us help you. And it gives you a template. And the template just makes sense. I mean, you can customize it. Try, and I am going to name and shame, try put a customized invoice into Pastel. I mean, before Xero, that must have been what you used.
Without a PC.
Right?
Well, that's what most of the market is, okay. Basically.
You know. No, first of all, you can't use Pastel. Hey, another follower.
I keep thinking somebody's knocking the door, to be honest. I honestly think there's somebody wanting to come in. I'm like, what's going on?
Look how exciting that is. Like, another follower. By the way,
Ava,
the app, have actually replied and added us to their subscription list. They've put my handle on this. So maybe they're listening to us. Maybe we're going to see their app come here. So thanks, guys.
Maybe that was the extra tweet that we just got.
What I was saying, though, is it takes you through a tutorial that you don't have to be an accountant, okay? You can build it up. I try to build an invoice with just a very simple logo on Pastel myself. You hit the nail on the head, Brett. You can't use Pastel on Mac. It doesn't work, okay?
You can use it on the browser. You just can't really change too much.
Okay, so now I'm not connected, and then what do I do, okay? So you have to be on a PC. I don't own a PC. But second, it's just so hard because it is so stringent according to the rules and regulations. I think you do have to be an accountant in a pinstripe suit drinking Hunter to actually figure that one out.
Sorry to interrupt, but you're quite right. The thing that bothers me is that the numbers don't lie, ever. You can't cheat math, really. If it all works right, math is math. The truth is better than clever. I know, okay, I've got an accountant here saying, I can cook the books as much as I want.
I just wanted to say,
But if the system is as upstanding as it is, and literally you are running it as a day-to-day functional accounting software, what you put in is what you're going to get out.
Exactly.
You can't really fudge much more than that. So
you can.
Keep it simple, stupid. It's working really well for the guys. And if you're saying from an accountant's perspective that's working, and from a business perspective that it's working.
Well, it's working because of the tech behind, basically.
Yes.
And that's what makes it more productive and easier from an accounting side to enable to give the business owner more accurate information on a live basis.
Okay, so I have another question on it because there are certain things that did stumble me a little bit. So I'm actually kind of abusing you. We got a free accountant here, buddy, and we still got 20 minutes, so just ask away.
He's not that free.
No, we can't charge me now. He doesn't know where I am.
I can send you an invoice on the app.
Okay, fine, there we go. But that's what I was getting
Catching.
To. Okay, so that also is what sold it for me. I do everything on my phone.
It would be great if I could flap it with my Xero. So put your bank balance into the flap it.
Yeah, exactly.
You actually can.
How many invoices? How many outstanding?
Who owes you money? What money was landed in the bank?
I actually think you can do that because you can customize and you can just link it.
Okay, flap it, meet Xero. Xero, meet flap it. Get together, guys. Make something amazing happen.
Like have this billboard. Another Xero subscriber. So the invoicing and the statements are all done using a link. So I can actually sit there, and that's what's so cool about the app on your phone, Brett. Mm. So someone owes you an invoice, you can actually create the invoice on your phone. But yeah, you create the invoice on your phone, and then you send it, and it sends a link. But it tells you that they've checked it. You kind of know that someone's actually looked at your... So now you've got tracking. You know, in the old days, did you send me your invoice? Yeah, 5 times. What email address are you using?
I have a statement, but no invoices.
Huh? Oh, that's my other one. You know, you can actually set reminders that it reminds you that you like overdue, you know, and it will send it. I love it. So here's my question to you, because you actually are a CA, correct?
I'm a chartered management.
You're a chartered management accountant. Yeah. Okay, but I mean, you are an accountant.
Accountant, yeah.
Is this not putting you out of business?
Well,
that's blunt. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. It's actually, look, it will put out potentially certain people out of business. If you, again, like any technology disruptor, if you're not going to go with the flow or adjust your way that you service your clients, you are going to find yourself without business. But at the same time, technology creates opportunity.
Mm.
So definitely, look, Xero as a software is a massive disruptor in the accounting space for SMEs.
Yeah, and that's actually how I found it, by the way. That's how I came across it, was on stuff to watch, you know, the change.
And to give you guys some insight, you know, the stuff that they're busy with, you know, talking about artificial intelligence and Xero, the big thing now, what they're pushing in the next 2 years, 3 years, is machine learning.
Yeah.
And we were at the San Francisco ZeroCon, they call it, when they just previewed basically what's coming in the next couple of years. And they've actually had a demo there where basically they showed with the machine learning that your accounting system will actually do your bank recon for you.
That's awesome. Sorry.
I see you guys taking pictures.
The ADD kicked in hard.
I see that.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We're having an ADD moment. So carry on.
But in a nutshell, like the role of the bookkeeper, yes, the role of your accountant, that is going to change completely over the next couple of years. Your days of data capturing is almost going to be done, and the systems are going to do that all for you.
But we have a hold on.
Okay,
you've just sat down. Okay. Calm down.
Okay,
we've had Disruptly on the show. They were the app of the year. Now they've done two. Did I say Disruptly?
Yes.
Disruptly. That would be like the disruptor of disruptors.
You see,
amazing.
Talking about end of the year.
Domestly. We had Domestly on. Yeah. They were the MTN Business app of the year, and they've done what Uber have done to travel to with domestic workers. Now, Monthly Accounting is doing something almost similar. Tell us, it's your opportunity. You got a couple of minutes on air, but you guys have taken this technology, you've harnessed it as a company, and changed the way in which you can service clients.
Exactly. So we like a tech company providing accounting services. That's how we see ourselves.
Awesome.
So we always try to use technology as far as we can. And the technology has enabled us to actually provide better outsourced accounting services, where, yes, it used to exist previously, but it wasn't to this extent.
Yeah.
You know, companies, you know, medium-sized organizations, the days of them having permanent bookkeepers is basically not coming to an end, but it will give them an option that if they switch to Xero, if they use the accounting system starting with a B, then yes, the bookkeeper was pretty much sitting there day in day out just processing invoices and doing XYZ, and it was a full-time job. Once you introduce a platform like Xero, all of a sudden this bookkeeper 60% of the time she doesn't know what to do with it. So it does open up the opportunity for ourselves to say to these companies, and that's what we do, we go to them, says, great, you've got the permanent resources, we'll take them over, you don't need it anymore. From a technology point of view, instead of having this one resource, you get this whole group of resources.
Yeah.
So, you know, where these medium-sized companies in their finance function, that one person. Now we said to them, well, give me that one person. I'll give you a whole team of people at the end of the day. And potentially, either cost them a lot of the times. We've seen them actually costing them less.
Yeah.
Because of the way that the system actually just saves a lot of time at the end of the day. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about while you guys were talking. The statement I made was a little bit reckless. It's not like disruptive that you're going to put yourself out of job, because the big companies, one, have obviously got all kinds of audit procedures in it that you still need a human to do. You can't audit off a set. Well, for now, you can't audit a set of books, just through a machine. But I think even more importantly is that although it's a great tool, and software is a great tool, all software is tools. That's what it is. I would never ever actually say to someone, you know what, you don't need an accountant or you don't need an accounting partner. Mm. Just go and get Xero and see what happens. Because I think you might end up actually spending a lot more money later rectifying things. So it's obviously a combination of both
So the quality of the service that we then can provide, because we don't have to worry about the data capturing and all these other time-consuming stuff that doesn't actually add value to a business. So it enables us to focus more on the important stuff. Mm-hmm. So although you still need an accountant, but what you're going to get a lot more value from them, because they're going to focus more on the important stuff than the day-to-day data capturing and stuff that doesn't really add value to the business owner.
The one nice thing about Xero is that they've kind of positioned themselves as an open source type marketplace related platform. They've got a whole bunch of plugins and extra, they say there's 500 plus time-saving apps.
Yeah,
From a
tech point of view, I think the days of your ERP systems and for your electronic resource planning systems, a very technical issue, I think those days are falling away. They've seen like these businesses that used to create these ERP systems, you end up getting a system that tries to do everything, but don't do them very well.
Mm.
And what Xero actually went out, they said like, well, look, let's just do the accounting side.
Yeah.
And we found like most companies, most SMEs will just run from Xero. They'd be fine. But you do have certain other industries, whether it's point of sale, whether it's CRM. So Xero's created this basically app store for your accounting system.
Yeah.
And they're literally growing by the week. I think they're even over 700 apps now.
Okay.
And that ranges from any, you know, that's very, very specific operational software that actually enables you to run your business better. And that all links automatically back to your accounting system.
Exactly.
So you basically build your own ERP system. And the nice thing about it is, you know, historically, if you had to go and implement an ERP system, and we've seen it with some of them, you know, your upfront cost, your capital investment is, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of rand.
Yeah.
All these apps, all of them are the same. They're all cloud-based. Yeah. You literally sign up. You don't need a credit card. Test them out. Don't like them. Move over to the next one.
That, and that's what we said. I mean, that's the... Did I cut you off there?
No.
Sorry. Okay.
Yes, but that, no, it's fine.
Okay. Well, sorry.
Love you.
I love you too.
Oh, sweet.
And we there we went.
Carry on.
Okay, so...
Do you guys need a room?
Yeah, we're in a room, but...
Oh, shit, yeah.
Are you at, do you not, what, not know what show you're on? Yeah. So basically, we're going to have to explain that one later. Right? I mentioned that earlier, and then we went off on the tangent. The fact that you can try before you buy...
Yeah.
You know, and the nice thing is that whatever you do inside there is exportable. So if you choose not to stay, because I had that problem before when I got fed up with Pastel, I tried, I think it was QuickBooks. That was
five,
also
six.
It goes I'll little flap it again. you know, when I tried, what was it? QuickBooks. That was the other one.
QuickBooks,
which was also quite innovative in its day, but it kind of lacked oomph. The only challenge that I've had, and please tell me if I'm wrong, I'm battling to find or work in offline mode. Is there an offline mode?
No.
Okay.
So there's no offline mode. I don't think anybody, any of their competition also does offline mode.
But if you want to work in offline mode, then get yourself a ledger book and a couple of pencils and an eraser.
I think probably the argument about it is, you know, if you don't have internet connectivity, how do you do business? So, and in the times that we do live, you know, if your network or your internet goes down, whether it's fiber, you always got 4G or something else that can connect. So, and if you run a business, you can't run without internet, let's face it. So I think that's pretty much, I don't think they wanted to go and spend that money to go and try and do an offline sort of version for that matter. There is, look, talking about offline, look, in your point of sale environment, again, that might happen. But you can imagine if you're standing at a cash register and your system goes offline, that could be very, you know, you can irritate a couple of customers.
Yeah.
So those kind of add-ons, for them, it's critical. Mm. They can't afford to go offline with 1 minute. So those kind of apps do have the offline sort of capability and from an operational point.
I'm going to jump in there. The three of us sitting in this room, being offline and cost of data are not discussions, though, that we...
I would like data to fall.
No, we still want... We do want the cost of data to fall, but the thing is that we would never sit here and make a decision based on the cost of data at that moment in time. Or,
luckily,
very rare that any of us are going to be out of connectivity. Our homes are connected. Our offices are connected.
Well, we had Dark Fiber Africa on last week.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And they're working very hard at making sure that that infrastructure not only expands from a high connectivity perspective, but also makes it to the rural spaces.
I get that. What I'm saying, though, is that, is this not something, though, that, and not just Xero, because you mentioned it as well, there are other players out there. When I did some research for the show, I came across one called Wave, was quite interesting as well.
Wave, yeah. So Wave is one of the, but they actually give it for free. They make their money on advertising.
I saw that, it was ads, and
that's annoying.
I don't know. No.
You basically got down to get your admin done, and all of a sudden you're getting
But there's a story why they actually went that route. There's pretty much a two-horse race in the whole cloud-based accounting systems for SMEs. And the one is QuickBooks, and the other one is, well, Xero and QuickBooks. Xero is the first mover.
Yeah.
Wave was one of the guys as well, and they realized they will not be able to compete against these big companies, and that's why they went the route to say, well, let's give it for free and make money on advertising, because it's a very clever move.
It is a clever move, and I looked at it, and it was a nice little system, but it seemed a little bit patchy, is going to be the word, you know.
I guess anything in life for free is not really...
But what I was trying to get back to, the fact that Google, the mighty Google, are finding ways to move offline, like Maps. If it will send you a message saying, like, we see you in this area all the time, pull that data down now. So you lose your live traffic and all that, but they even thinking about the unconnected world or the disconnected world. I would like to see Xero actually make that play, you know, because it's very easy to sit and say, oh, you're online, you're never offline. You are. There are times. And you know what? If I'm sitting on an airplane and I want to work, mind you, there's Wi-Fi on planes now as well. So it's like, as I'm saying it, I'm thinking,
close your
myself,
eyes, listen to a podcast, go to sleep.
No, I do my best work up there because no one can phone me.
I like the way Xero have positioned themselves with their tag. They say, Xero, it's not just accounting software, it's beautiful accounting software. They've done it really, really well in that space. And the nice thing about Xero is that they've acknowledged the fact that anybody doing accounting is not the first person in the history of man to ever do accounting. They've actually made sure that there's some sort of global knowledge base behind this, that everybody's learned from everybody else, and we're all benefiting from it.
Exactly. Collaboration, basically.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Crowdsource collaboration. Yeah. That's fantastic.
I just want to get back to monthly accounting. Okay, I mean, if you're a reseller of Xero, that's great. But I know you'll agree with me that we still need accountants. What kind of services do you offer? Do you look at the smaller guys? Do you look at the bigger guys? And why I say that is that if anyone's listening to the show today, they're going to go to Xero.com or .co.za. I don't know what the website is. They're going to sign up, boom, boom, boom. Okay. If they're not accountants, they're going to battle. Okay. Even though the tutorials are there, they're still going to think, oh, this is a pain in the ass. Do you take management of other people's books? Like, so let's say, for example, I have to have a set of books, but I just really couldn't give a shit and I don't want to do it. Is that a service that you offer?
Exactly.
And then would you only do it on Xero is what I'm getting at?
Or? Yeah, we are currently the only platform that we do support is Xero. And like you said, the nice thing, we do offer the service that we do setups for clients, whether they sign up for an accounting service or not. If they do sign up for accounting service, of course, we do it for free. If they don't, then we charge them a setup fee if they really need our help. And then we do it in a manner to make sure that's best practice. And the nice thing about Xero, look, you don't have to go through any an accounting or a Xero partner. You can go straight to the website and sign up for the service. But they do encourage it actually going through an advisor because it just, in the end of the day, you actually, from the Xero point, you probably get a better experience 100%. Because you're dealing with someone that actually understands the system and setting it up from the beginning correctly.
I would agree. I mean, when I do keynote speaking, I always say there's three things that you need in life. You need a good accountant, a good lawyer, and a good financial partner. The good accountant is to help you save on tax and, you know, expenses. The good lawyer is that if the accountant got it wrong, and then obviously the good financial partner when you need bail money. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's like kind of like, but the truth is you do, you know, and I know so many businesses that have come short because they haven't cash forecasted properly. They haven't collected their book, you know. So as brilliant as it is, maybe I'm just old school, I would still engage with someone to actually take me to a journey. I don't know. You using it, Brett, did you set up yourself? Xero? Or do you have an accountant? You had help. You
see, but he needs
point.
Help.
That's actually true as well. I mean, look, a squirrel.
True
there he goes.
What?
Okay, so anyone can sign up. What are we looking at monthly? We're getting to the top of the hour, so we need to kind of – what is the cost of the software?
So Xero, it's still charging dollars. They hopefully next year they're releasing local based pricing. But your most common package is the $30 a month. It gives you all the features.
What's a dollar now? 14.
Yeah,
so it's about $450.
Yeah, $450. But so for startups, it could sound expensive.
No, I don't think so. Hey, even for a startup.
If you're seeing what you're getting, it's not expensive. Yeah. The nice thing about Xero is you pay the 400, let's say it's 450 Rand, but it gives you unlimited users. So you can add as many users as you want. You can imagine your medium-sized firms, they've got 5, 6, 7 people that actually
that's
use
true, it. That's true. On the other Oaks, you pay per user, per license.
User,
you're right.
So that's a Xero model, and so definitely at clients do find that very, very actually nice that you can add as many users as you want. Of course, you pay per company legal entity that you add to the system.
Yeah, but I mean, that would go without saying. Yeah. Dude, we at wrap up. I'm getting the finger through the window.
Oh, geez. Yeah. How many fingers?
I'm even getting a laugh now at the finger through the window.
How many fingers?
No, just one.
Four. Okay,
no,
just the one. One specific one.
So, from ADHD flapping to reincarnation of 200 years of Frankenstein to accounting that actually makes sense, what's the thought of the day? Week.
I think my thought of the day is that next week's episode is going to be a really nice wrap-up because we've had a really interesting year of innovation and disruption that have not only optimized the consumers but businesses as well. And I mean, we're going to be at a point where we can use booking.com to get our thing and we can use Uber to get to the airport and we can use everything
There's
in this
show.
Ubiquitous technology.
We're going to have a show on how apps could control an entire day in our lives.
The future of apps. The cool. future of and the future of the future. But the thing is, we're getting to a point where you can do everything on this device right down to the rands and cents of your business. So it's amazing that enablement and new platforms and new technology are not just disrupting but enhancing life.
cool.
So are you going to say, Heinrich?
I said all that information will end up in your accounting system. Fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah. So here's your final punt. Website, where do we find you?
You can go to www.monthlyaccounting.co.za.
Cool. Monthlyaccounting.co.za. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks, Heinrich.
Yeah,
thanks,
we'll guys. Definitely be... I know I'm going to be needing support soon.
Thanks to Flappit for scaring the crap out of me every time. And just a shameless punt. I want one. And
okay, we'll hook you up there. Huh?
The other side of it was Ava.
Yes.
Great work on the app of the week.
Fantastic. So until next time, keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny. CliffCentral.com.